everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm blessed and thrilled to have Kaz Namba on the podcast. Now, Kaz has been retired for the past 10 years. And before that, she worked for Transamerica for 26 years in various roles, including accounting, underwriting, and HR. At Catalyst, Kaz and her husband Mike are small group leaders. They're also part of the prayer team. Kaz and Mike have been married for 12 years this year, and Kaz has two daughters, Lisa and Lauren, and Mike also has two daughters, Sarah and Elizabeth. Okay, and with that, Kaz, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Hey, John, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah, I'm so excited to have you, and I'm so excited also to share with our listeners that about a month ago, when Catalyst had an open mic time of sharing testimonies, you felt God might have been calling you up to share a testimony, and you never had a chance to do that because of time constraints. But then I approached you right after service to see if you'd be open to sharing your testimony on Catalyst Stories, and Yes. Here we are. Yes. How incredible is that?
I know, that was... I thought, oh my goodness, I was just about to go up and share, but we ran out of time.
Yeah.
That was great timing.
I know it was. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about timing in your testimonies, but I think I was also sharing with you that the night before that open mic day, I was asking God to highlight someone to ask to share a testimony on Catalyst Stories. And I got a picture of your face.
Yes.
And I just thought, gosh, God seems to always be orchestrating things, and he answered my prayer.
Oh,
so.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. So I thought, Kaz, we could start with your Auntie Grace. And I know it was when you were 3 years old, you were really young. You went through a very traumatic experience that I wondered if you can share about.
Sure. When I was 3 years old, I was in the car. We were getting ready for Father's Day, and my Auntie Grace and my Uncle Fred were like my grandparents.
Yeah.
And I guess the car started, they were loading the trunk, and I guess the car started moving, and my auntie tried to stop it, but it rolled over her, and yeah, so unfortunately she passed away.
Yeah. And I think you said you were in the back seat.
I was in the back seat watching them load the car, and I heard that they had a hard time getting me out. And I remember seeing her laying on the street, and she was saying how tired she was.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
Pretty traumatic.
At that time, being 3 years old, were you even aware at that time that the car had rolled over your auntie?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not really sure.
Do you remember what it was like being in the car and having it roll down the hill?
I've had nightmares of being like in a house that's moving, and it's always very startling to me. So I'm thinking that that's kind of similar.
Right.
So
right.
I remember having those kind of dreams where the house is moving and I'm out of control.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
Yeah, I think that might have been a result of, you know, mm-hmm. that happening.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just think that must have been so traumatic, you know, having experienced that.
And she passed away on the way, on route to the hospital.
Wow.
So, you know, I always wondered whether she made it to heaven or not, because no one had an opportunity to share about Jesus with her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I thought, Lord, you know, how does that work? You know, like, children and, you know, people who just never have a chance to hear about you, Lord. And so when I was driving to work one year, I was driving to Transamerica.
Okay.
And I was listening to Christian music, and there was a song playing, the one about In Your Arms.
In Your Arms of Love.
Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden I pictured my Auntie Grace's head on Jesus's lap, and this is like she's dying, and they were conversing with each other. So then it made me think, well, Lord, did Auntie Grace have a chance to talk to you? And, you know, I just asked the Lord, and all of a sudden I felt this like tingling all over from the top of my head to my toes.
Yeah, I never had something like that before.
No, I never had anything like that happen before. And it just made me think, wow, I think this is the Lord answering my question.
Yeah.
You know, that she made it. So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that I get to see her in heaven one day. That was a really special moment.
Yeah.
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 So it like nothing like that ever happened before. So it just gives me hope for a lot of people
yes.
that may not have, heard the message.
Yes. Yes. So this is interesting because this just happened a few days ago. I found out that a former employee that was part of the same company that I was with, he died on vacation in Italy. He had a brain aneurysm and he died, and a mutual friend I was talking to a mutual friend and she asked me the question, what do you think happened to him? Because I wasn't aware if he had accepted the Lord or not. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help but think back to your auntie that, we never know what, if in that moment, because of God's incredible grace and mercy,
yes.
if he's able to, communicate and connect with someone that maybe didn't know him before,
right,
huh?
Right. Doesn't that give you hope?
It absolutely does.
Yeah. It just, that really touched my heart. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That is so neat that God revealed himself in that way and kind of giving you that hope and assurance, huh? Of
yes.
Where your auntie is.
Yes. Yes.
And, Kaz, I just wanted to quote, when I thought of your auntie, Revelation 21:4 in the New King James Bible, where it says, "And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away." And I just thought about that when I thought about
yes.
your situation with your auntie. So she's in a better place
yes.
now. So I want to transition now to your career journey.
Okay.
And you spent 26 years at Transamerica, and I was real inspired to hear God's hand being so evident throughout your career. And so I wondered if you can talk about your career journey and how God opened up opportunities for you and really showed his favor to you, huh?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He sure did. I think I was working for a jewelry company, and the boss would always say, "Hey, yeah, if you ever want an easy job, go work for an insurance company." But I actually did end up applying, and my girlfriend and I,
that's funny.
And I got the job. So
okay, but yeah. it wasn't because of his advice to you that you went into insurance, though.
I think we had another friend that had. But I remember
maybe you had that in the back of
that.
Your mind.
It could be. It could be. But
that's good.
Yeah, so I started way back in the early 70s, and I started off as an accounting clerk. That's what I was doing, accounts receivable. And then I had an opportunity. Well, one nice thing about working for a large company is you get to move up. You could find other mm-hmm. Job potential.
Yes.
Possibilities. So. Yeah, so I actually, the manager of the underwriting department was interested in me, so she came over and asked if I would be interested in an underwriting job. So I took it. It was a promotion for me, and why not? I learned so much, and I actually love that job a lot.
Okay.
I got to learn a lot about, medical stuff. I would look at attending physician statements, and that was kind of a lot of fun. And if we had any questions regarding insurability, we would go speak to a physician who was also, part of the company.
Okay.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then I had some friends who were trying to get into programming. I thought, oh, that's the latest thing. And I thought, oh, I really love my job, but I wanted to just try it. I just figured, I probably won't get in. They're like over. So I asked my boss if it was okay. And reluctantly, she said, yeah, sure. So, I said, I probably won't get in, but I want to try. And so I tried. There's like a battery of tests that you have to take, like logic, math. I can't remember what the other one was. And then you have to go through an interview process with all the division heads of each department. There's like Medicare, yeah. individual insurance, group insurance.
Wow.
There's like one more.
Yeah, and I think you said like over 300 people applied for.
Yes, there were over 300 people who initially applied.
Yeah.
And it's usually over 300 people. And, you know, you get filtered out after you're doing some of the tests. But I made it. So I was like, wow, this must be God.
Because,
you know, I'm like, they only chose 12 out of the 300 plus.
Wow.
So I'm not a genius or anything, but that's why I feel like, oh, the Lord, you know, I had his favor.
Yeah. Well, you know, so I'm curious, leading up to that, I mean, did you pray? I mean, I'm wondering what your faith level or your mindset was at the time.
I think I did pray a little.
Yeah.
I mean, I think God's always been a part of my life since, let's see, when did I become a Christian? When I was like 19.
Okay.
I had like some old friend like Valerie Tawa when she was still single, and Patty Jew, who was also single. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they introduced me to the Vineyard, and that's when I accepted Jesus.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you know, it was just part of my life. So
yeah.
I think I always kind of relied on the Lord, and I've had so much favor. It's like crazy. But anyway,
Yeah, so I'm wondering, what was your reaction when the day you found out that you're literally one of the 12?
I could not
chosen.
Believe it. Because, I'm thinking, what are the odds that I would get this job, or this opportunity to learn programming? So yeah. I was shocked. And I remember telling my husband at the time, you know, that I got in. And then I found out that I'm pregnant. So they had to hold me over for a whole year. They go, well, do you want to do it now or do you want to wait till later? So I decided I'll wait till after I had the baby. So.
Wow. And I find that amazing that they gave you that option too.
Because
it was a year later, right?
A whole year later. Oh. Yeah. So how did it go? So they train you for like 4.5 months. With pay. And I think my pay doubled by taking the class. So it was really nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
So I was really, really happy. Yeah. And so the way they work is they try to find programmers for the different businesses. So if you know the background, I knew group insurance. So I went to the group IT department at the time.
Yeah.
So that was a great opportunity for me to make more money and to do something. And I really liked it too. So it was, it was fun. And then later on, I got the opportunity to learn PeopleSoft, which was a little bit more specific. And that was a part of HR. So
yes.
HRMS. Yeah.
Yes.
So, deals with payroll and benefits and HR.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a little more stressful, but my salary also increased quite a bit, like by a third.
Wow.
At least. Yeah, so that was very special as well. So yeah, that's my 26 years, but I kept moving every so many years to different departments. I think I was in 7 departments altogether.
Okay, Yeah, and you're making good impressions all the way because they all want to throw more money at you.
I guess so.
I was going to ask you what was the most enjoyable part about those years, you know, after you besides the money.
Just making a lot of good friends.
Yeah. And so I wondered if you can share maybe just a few of the lessons you gained or the insights you learned through this, through your career at Transamerica.
I think it just increased my faith tremendously. Right. I mean, I wasn't expecting things, but yet, you know, the Lord came through on a lot of things. So I just feel like my faith got increased a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And I think you had also mentioned about just being aware of God's favor on your life.
Yes. Huh? Yes. Yeah. Wow.
And one other thing, I think you also that was a big confidence booster for you too, because it was kind of like you said, you know, hey, I can do this, right? I can. Do you feel part of it all is also just the belief in yourself of just being able to go for something and then being able to come out on top.
Thought of it that way, but I always managed. So I always felt like it was the Lord's favor. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was always pretty comfortable where I was at. So,
Did you discover anything about God that that maybe hadn't jumped out at you before?
Well, that he would always come through.
Yeah.
No matter what, even through my divorce and all that, I mean, the Lord showed his faithfulness and, there were so many different things that happened that made my faith increase quite a bit.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, causes I was thinking of this testimony of just God walking with you at work. Psalm 90, verse 17 in the English Standard Bible jumped out at me, and I just wanted to quote it. It says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." And then he says again, "Yes, establish the work of our hands." So it kind of and it has an exclamation mark, but that's the Living Translation says, to make our efforts successful. And I thought, gosh, you know, that was just seems so appropriate for what he's done, what he did.
Well, you're so good at finding those great verses that apply. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had mentioned about toward the tail end, I think it was, at your career at Transamerica, going through the divorce, and I think later on it had been 7 years after your previous marriage, and you were still not open to dating again. And so I wanted to start, as we transition, by asking you, what was your reason at the time for being closed to dating, especially after a lot of time had passed?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I did date somebody a little bit in the middle.
Okay.
And then, and then it was 7 years after that even.
Okay.
It's just probably, I don't know. It's a lot of work and, you know, it just doesn't work out. So I guess I wasn't open to, you know, putting myself out there.
Yeah.
But there was 1 year I watched, I don't know, my friends got me into this Korean soap thing, you know, and then I was watching one that was called The Coffee Prince, and I don't know why, but.
Coffee Prince, that's like a Filipino, a Philippine drama series, right?
No, that's a Korean.
Oh, it is, okay.
It's Korean, yeah.
Okay, I don't know why I was thinking.
Yeah, they're all Korean, Korean dramas.
Okay.
So
okay.
For some reason, it made me more open to dating. And I even wrote in my journal, you know, oh, Lord, you know, is it like, am I being kind of chicken by not putting myself out there? I just felt like, you know, I'm happy where I'm at. I don't really need to be with anybody. But after watching that, for some reason, I was open to it. I actually entered in my journal about like, yeah, maybe I'd be open to dating.
Oh.
And then it was like 2 weeks later that Mike asked me out.
So, oh, wow. Okay, so you already had known him already then.
He was in my small group.
Okay,
So he actually asked me out when we were greeting together at, you know, in front of Catalyst.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
And so he asks you out, and what was your response?
I think my head, it was very complicated in my head, you know, like, I don't think he says I didn't give him an answer. He just tapped me on the shoulder and said, oh, well, you know, we can go out for coffee sometime. Well, let me know. And so I had to pray about it. But I wouldn't have been open earlier. So
okay.
Earlier.
Yeah. I'm still curious to know what it was in the Korean soap opera that you saw know, that
I have to watch
that,
it
that
again
made
see,
you open
yeah.
to.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, but it did spark your openness again. So
it did. Yeah.
Yeah. And my other thought, because you said that initially when Mike had asked you, you kind of, I mean, you didn't blow him off, but you kind of didn't respond.
Right.
And I thought, well, you know, that's probably appropriate because you don't want to be too quick to respond, right? Or, you know, you don't want to sound desperate or anything,
I don't think that was intentional, but I think I had too many things like going in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
That I'm like, should I? Or, oh, I don't know. What do I say? Or, yeah, I just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you're open, and then now Mike asks you out, and then when did you reply that, okay, well, let's go out? Well, tell me about that.
You know, I don't remember. I think I wrote him and said, yeah, you know, we could go out for coffee or something.
Okay. Yeah. As in wrote him like a letter or a
email
note
or something
like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So.
Okay. Got you.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're trying to schedule your first date. It's amazing the challenges that you went through in trying to schedule the first date.
I think it took about three tries.
Yeah.
Because I think he might have been sick one time. Then his.
Now, when the first time, I think you told me he got sick.
Yeah, he was
sick. And I think I might ask you, did you believe him when he said he actually got sick?
Yes.
Okay.
I did. I heard he was on the floor at his mom's and just, you know, like he couldn't even do anything.
Yeah.
He got sick one time.
And how about the second time?
Second time, I think he was having cable work done at his house. Oh, wait, no. Second time, I think his place burnt down. That's what it was.
Okay,
His place burnt down. Yeah, that was kind of an awful story because somebody set a fire in the complex where he was living.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Oh, my.
Something horrible was going on there. So I do remember helping him pack his stuff because he had to move out of there.
Okay. Yeah.
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 But it still wasn't a date yet.
Right.
And then I think the third one, it was on Valentine's, and I thought, oh, does he know it's Valentine's? I'm thinking, I don't even know if he knows it's Valentine's, but we couldn't make it because he had a cable people come out and they had to cable the house that he was renting and it was taking them a lot longer.
Yeah.
So we had to postpone it. But he did come by with a can of chocolates.
Okay.
Heart-shaped can.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, that's
so
sweet.
Came, and because I had plans already for dinner with my mom and my auntie Valentine's. So.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, what is your thinking? What's going on in your mind as your third time gets canceled and you're going to have to reschedule for another time?
I know. I'm thinking, this is kind of crazy. Maybe we're not going to end up together because things keep happening.
Yeah.
But we finally did go out.
Yeah, you'll have to share about.
Yeah, we finally went out to Roy's and we're having a good time. And then, of course, Mike, he's like thinking, oh, first date, don't know how it's going to go. You kind of don't want people to know that you're dating yet and in case it doesn't work out. But anyway, we saw Tony Wang and his wife, Deidre, at the restaurant. And then they give us that eye, you know, who are you with? You know? It's like, okay, well, we can't hide from that one. And they come by the table afterwards they left. But
we
thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. That is. That's hilarious. and so... When did I think you said you dated for 2 or 3 years and then when did you I mean did you know pretty early on
that, yeah that yeah he, I think we knew that, early on that yeah we were probably
direction
get
you're
married
headed in.
Yeah,
that's so neat.
So yeah.
So as you reflect back on your adventure of meeting and eventually marrying Mike, what stands out to you about just God's hand over you during that time?
Well, you know, that's pretty interesting because I've always had abandonment issues. And I found out from my mom that it could be because when I was little, she had to leave me at the end of the field and I'd be crying away the first month she stayed home with me, but after that, she was farming in Japan and she would have to leave me at one end of the field and she would hear me crying and crying and crying. So that could be one reason.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of felt like a fearful of being abandoned. But, okay, I didn't tell you this part of the story is before Mike asked me out, he was trying to figure out, who he would like to ask out. So he asked the Lord, who should I ask out?
Yeah.
And he said he was like either dozing off or he was taking a nap. And he saw a picture of me in color. It was coming, you know, like a little at a time. And then he saw a full picture of me. And then he heard an audible voice. And he thinks it was God because he was so startled. It said, Cause.
Wow.
So he jumped up and thought, who's in the room?
Wow.
So I think that really helped me to know that he was the guy that I'm supposed to marry and be with. And okay. then I wasn't afraid of being abandoned at all. Yeah. And I always had that fear.
Wow. So it went away after
it,
that.
It did.
Oh,
it
my
did.
Goodness. Wow.
Yeah. So because I knew that God chose him for me,
yeah.
I think that really made a huge difference.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Now I remember before he heard your name audibly, he saw a picture of your face, right?
Right, right.
And I just thought that was so interesting in that when I asked God about having someone to come on and share a testimony, I saw your face.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And normally that doesn't happen to me either. You know, I usually
okay.
get a name or just something, you know, you have this gut feeling in the back or,
right,
you know, God
right.
kind of downloads something. But yeah, this time
gosh.
It was your face too. So there must be something about God and your face that he's very,
I see. Yeah.
He uses your face to
could be.
Bring out, yeah. So I think you had also mentioned about God's timing that you learned about God's timing.
Right.
So I wondered if you can talk about
right.
that too.
Well, actually, Mike said he was thinking about asking me out.
Yeah.
And somebody kept bugging him, like, did you ask Kaz out? Yeah, well, no, I haven't
yeah.
asked her out
Do
yet.
You want to say who that was that asked?
I guess I could.
Yeah, yeah.
It was actually Pastor Barry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he was just, yeah. So Mike was just, I don't know if he was chicken or he just, but it's a good thing he waited because I probably would have said no earlier if he
okay.
had asked me, like, before I saw that Korean soap, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
That made me a little more open to it. So,
yeah. And yeah. I'm guessing you found out that Pastor Barry had asked him because years later you talked to Mike, mentioned it to you? Or, I mean, how did you finally found out about it?
Yeah, he told me.
Oh, he told you, yeah.
When we were dating.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was his response to you about why in that moment when Pastor Barry had been egging him on, he didn't ask
know.
You?
He didn't really say. I think
okay.
he was just kind of chicken or maybe not the right timing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So everything, I think of that scripture, you know, God works all things for the good.
Yes,
you know, everything
worked
out in his timing.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it's the timing for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole me journaling and all that, you know, I was able to look back and say, oh, wow, yeah, he asked me out like 2 weeks after I wrote that down.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, what are the... I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And forgive me why I can't mention the reason, but you had mentioned a connection with Ruth in the Bible. And do you remember that? Or was it one of the Ruths that's at Catalyst, but somehow... I had written down the name Ruth, and I was
yeah,
wondering if there's a connection with either Ruth in the Bible or
I can't remember.
Okay. Okay.
I can't remember. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It might have been in the Bible, but now I can't remember.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe
no worries.
I think you came up with it. It
oh, did
that,
I?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was something that something about the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe it had to do with God's timing because I just thought it was interesting that. That or you know what, I think it was just relating back to that, how God works all things for the good, because, you know, with Ruth, because she followed Naomi
and
went to
that.
Be
yeah.
with her mother-in-law, God just opened up, you know, it just the his timing and the way that he opened up to for her to meet Boaz, it was just God's incredible hand in her situation.
Right.
It was almost like that, you know, I was thinking of that with you and Mike.
Yeah.
So I did have another scripture verse that I just thought was so appropriate, and that's Psalm 37:4 in the NIV. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I just thought, as you seek him and seek fulfillment from God and seek his purpose for your life, not that he gives us, you know, whatever we ask him, but it was more that we get to that point where our desires match and align with his desires. And I think sometimes it's easy to forget that, you know, his desires are always good, you know, for our good.
Right.
That just thought of that verse when I thought about you, Kaz.
I do have a little something that I think maybe it was Pastor Barry who noticed that we were the first ones that met at Catalyst and got married.
Is that right?
Yeah. So wow. I don't know if anybody's ever followed after us. I have to ask them. But for a long time, we were the first and
oh
the last.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So you're right there in the history and the lineage of Catalyst.
Exactly.
Wow, that's so incredible. And I mean, I just think of just the fruit that's come out of that. I mean, you know, if we go back to, you know, Ruth and Boaz. Mm-hmm. Ruth and Boaz, their kids ended up being, and their generation ended up being in the line of David.
Oh,
right. So you know, I think maybe there's something there. I mean, you're starting a lineage in in Catalyst. So that's awesome. I didn't know
that. So made, yeah, Catalyst history.
Wow, right, Catalyst right. history. Yeah, that's so awesome. Okay, so I want to forward now to recently, and we'll call this section Walking at the Mall.
Okay.
What started out as maybe a way of getting exercise and socializing with friends,
yes,
really turned into part of God's ministry. And I wondered if you can talk about how you first got this idea of walking and what happened.
Oh, yeah. It's not my, I mean, I'm not the first, but yeah. I wanted to get exercise because my blood sugar levels are kind of going up, and I'm like, oh, I need to walk a little bit more. And I think it started in the summers. I was walking outside, but it was just way too hot. And I thought, oh, maybe, you know, I already knew that Marilyn and Eileen and,
yeah,
you know, some people from CBC were walking at the mall. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll join them. But they would start walking early. I mean, I would be getting up a little bit before they would start walking. So I like to sleep in. So.
Yeah, yeah. Had to adjust a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, I had to adjust a little. Now I get up about 7:30 just so that I could make it by a little before 9 to walk with the girls. But actually, Marilyn, she's the one who's very inspiring for me because we call it her ministry. Because she likes to serve some of the people there. Like there's somebody who's disabled and he didn't have a scooter. He would get dropped off, but he couldn't really walk very well at all. Mm-hmm. So Marilyn would go get his coffee for him or, you know, get like pastry or whatever. So, you know, you get to know some of the people. And there's all these Hawaiian guys that hang out with them. So we get to know them. And there's different pockets of people at the mall.
Yeah.
And then we're also helping some other guy who's 94 and he makes he hangs out with a group of like veterans.
Okay.
And they all kind of walk, you know, one or two or three laps and sometimes he's not able to. And he's like has had trouble with his legs. So then Marilyn would help get him like his little donut or he loves that. He's got his money already waiting for Marilyn to come and for some reason, he's happier when Marilyn, you know, gets it for him. So I like to give her the chance unless nobody's around. I'll say, Mom, you want your donut? But, it's a ministry for Marilyn. She knows everybody at the mall. She knows the guards, the workers at Starbucks or E-Bar and... Yeah, she's just great.
She's great. You know, you just remind me. So Paul and Marilyn came on the podcast early on in Catalyst Stories.
Yeah.
And I remember Paul just being proud of her for, you know, saying, I think a while back, he wished that she would be, whether it's socializing more or getting out there and meeting people more. And then just to see her blossom like this.
Oh, yes, she's really
now just be
awesome.
uh, uh, so interactive and out there meeting people. It's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're just affirming
she
that.
She just knows. Right. I mean, I'm more of an introvert, so yeah. So I just kind of tag along and I listen to everybody's stories. It's just kind of quiet. But then,
yeah.
Like, okay, one time, one of the guys, the one who's disabled, I just felt, I think he had like his neck was hurting or something. And so I just felt like, okay, Lord wants me to pray for him. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just went, oh, may I pray for you? He goes, oh yeah, sure. Okay. And so I prayed for his neck. And by the time we were done with the walk, he says, oh my gosh, that was a miracle. I'm healed.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. But he, yeah. So.
What did that do for your faith?
Oh, it just increased it even more.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I mean, yeah, at first I'm thinking, okay, I don't know these people. It's okay if I pray for them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it's the Lord's given me a lot of courage to pray for him and a lot of people.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. I wondered it's if you can, like, you can share a few of the other stories, because I know there was a lady with cancer,
yes,
that you prayed for. You,
yes,
prayed for blessings over other people. So yeah, I'd love if you,
yeah,
can share a few of those,
yeah,
stories.
They, you know, I'd ask, is it okay to pray for you? Like,
yeah,
the lady who was having trouble with her abdominal issues. And mm-hmm, so we prayed. Mm-hmm. And then Marilyn, it's nice because we have Marilyn and Lucille and Kathy comes with us sometimes. You know, everybody and Eileen, they might, you know, chip in and just pray along as I pray. So the more,
wow,
the merrier, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I was just asking the girl recently, you know, I told her we've been praying for her because she had gone back east on a trip and she ended up having to have surgery and she couldn't get home for a few weeks. But I told her we were praying for her. And as soon as I told her that we were praying for her, she gave me an update about her cancer markers, how it was way high and then it came way down. So she was like,
wow, after
it,
you had prayed for her.
Right, right.
That's amazing.
So I feel like, you know, she accredits that to God that we, you know, prayed for her.
Wow.
And so, of course, we're still praying for her for the markers to come even further down.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I think she really appreciates it. And I've seen like tears kind of flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm always surprised, but blessed to, you know, see how touched that people are. And so I prayed for Bob, the 94-year-old, because he's been having trouble with his leg. And after, so that was a while ago, like maybe a month ago. And then Yoshi from Cerritos Baptist, she came over to, because she walks at the mall too.
Okay, wow.
She's like in her, I don't know if she's in her late 80s maybe, or
wow,
90s. But she came over to me just the other day.
Yeah.
And told me, do you know that Bob had tears in his eyes after you prayed for him? And I said, what?
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
So, you know, God's working.
Just really touched. Lord, yeah, really touched him, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's so neat, Kaz, in that, you know, you were sharing earlier that, you know, you're maybe not the most extroverted person, but yet you're stepping out in faith. And so I wonder if you can share about what just that stepping out, what that's meant to you or what that's done for you.
Well, I am afraid to pray, but the Lord gives me the courage. So
yeah,
I think it's getting a little bit easier and easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my faith, yeah, is building up. And, yeah, of course, on Wednesday nights, Pastor Barry leads this Wednesday night prayer. So you guys are all welcome to join us.
Oh, awesome.
You can ask him,
yeah,
to put you on his email list, but we do it by Zoom, so you don't have to,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
come to the Freedom Center anymore since COVID. We've been doing it that way. So then there's a lot of people who live far away, so they join us.
Yeah.
There's some faithful ones, and oh my goodness, there's been like some huge prayers answered. I mean, huge, small, all, but just amazing. So,
wow,
our faith is just building up,
yeah,
so much. Yeah, so it helps for Wednesday night prayer, too, just to be out there. And, you know, I didn't really have that much contact with people that are not Christians, really. I have a small circle. Mm-hmm. So being out in the mall, it's kind of cool that I get to pray for people, whether they're Christians or not.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter. I think people there just want to be seen and heard. You know,
yeah,
I just get the sense from the Lord,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
it's important for them to be heard.
Yes, Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even there was one guy who I was leaving the mall, and he had this really cool walker. And I thought, if I ever get sick or old or whatever, and I need a walker, that's the walker I'm going to get. So I just stopped him, and I said, oh, I love your walker. He goes, well, I'm trying to get rid of it. And I had like a couple of back surgeries. And
So then I
asked if I could pray for him. So I every time we'd see him, I'd pray for him. And we hadn't seen him since December. And Marilyn calls. I was in the bathroom. Marilyn calls me, and she says, Victor is here. I said, really? So I'm like rushing out of the restroom trying to figure out where he's at. She goes, oh, he just went down that way. So I got to pray for him, and he just shook my hand. He was just really happy to see me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's so neat, cause, you know, as you were sharing, I just thought, you know, you're doing what Jesus did, right? Mm-hmm. You know, He reached out, and he had compassion on people, and I just thought of John 13:34-35. You know, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I just see you just being like Jesus. You know, Jesus had compassion on people, and like you said, having people being seen and heard.
Right.
And I think that's so awesome.
Yes.
And I think you even said that now it's kind of fun for you too.
Oh, huh? I look forward to it.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't even get our 3 miles in. You know, we're just talking and catching up with people, and you know, finding out what they're doing, and when they go on vacation or whatever, we miss them. And
so special. What part is the fun for you? Is it the anticipation of how God will show up, or is it connecting with the people? What is it, the fun part for you?
I think it's all of it. It's all of it. I mean, I look forward to, and you know, forward to getting to know each one a little bit more. I've walked with one of them. The one who's being treated, I got to walk with her and find out. And she's got like a totally interesting history, and worked at Northrop. So, you know, I was thinking of my daughter who works there. And she worked on F-13 fighters. Like, wow. So she's, you know, like, you just don't know, like, what these people have done in the past. They have their own stories to tell.
Exactly.
So, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So, Kaz, as we start to wind down our time together, what might be your word of encouragement for others that, you know, maybe they know in their heart that God wants them to reach out to people? And it might not be in the mall. It might be at their place of work. It might be places they frequent often, like a gym or some other places.
Right.
What might be your word of encouragement to them as far as stepping out and sharing with others?
I think just be yourself, be natural, and you know, people want to connect. So, I mean, some are open and some are more open.
But
you just, you know, ask the Lord to give you a little strength and faith to reach out. Mm-hmm. And then when you really sense that the Lord wants you to pray for them, then do it.
Yeah.
Because I've had so many opportunities where I felt like, oh, the Lord really wants me to pray for somebody. So
yeah,
it's become easier and easier.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I just really appreciate, you know, your heart and your willingness. I think your willingness to just say, yes, I'm gonna, you know, if God, you're telling me to go and pray for someone, I'm gonna go do it, and just going. And doing that, and just seeing how your faith and your boldness is being built up like that. So I think that's so awesome. So Kaz, as we close our time together, first of all, I want to thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing your amazing journey with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I'd like to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies and for our listeners as well. So let's pray. Thank you, Father God, for your hand upon Kaz's life all these years, and how you opened up opportunities and doors for her career that highlight your favor and your blessing upon her. And I just want to pray for those listening that might be facing uncertainty in their careers, their jobs, their future, that as they seek and turn to you, that your favor would just rest upon them. And again, I want to quote Psalm 90, verse 17 in the English Standard Bible, "Let the favor of our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. And thank you, God, for your timing in Kaz and Mike's relationship, Lord, and how you brought them together. Lord, I think of Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11 in the New Living Bible that says, "God has made everything beautiful in its own time." And help us, God, to trust in your timing for everything in our lives. And thank you, Holy Spirit, of how you are right there with Kaz as she reaches out, along with Marilyn and other people, reach out to people at the mall, being a light and spreading your love. And we're reminded of John 13, 34, and 5, when you said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And thank you also for the boldness that you've given to Kaz and Marilyn and the others as they step out in faith to pray for others. And I pray for even more divine appointments, a greater release of your mighty power in them, that as they go and they do what you did, Jesus, when you walked the earth, that's to spread your love, and I pray healing over others, and as they spread the good news, that you would provide hope, Lord, even more hope and salvation for those they come in contact with. And finally, thank you, Jesus, for showing Kaz that image of her Auntie Grace sitting with her head against your knee, just such a strong reminder of the future place we have to look forward to in heaven with you, a place where there's no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, for the former things will pass away. And that's Revelation 21:4. And now, Jesus, may you use these testimonies and causes life to inspire all of us to become all that you called and created us to be in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Kaz. And
thank you.
That's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.